Welcome to the Fairest Love Podcast, Single, Not Stalled, Pursuing Sanctity in Your Singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here, we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives, as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, professional growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Monica.
Hello. Hi. How are you?
Good. October is here.
It's here.
Doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like it here in St. Louis anyway.
That's my joy for the week.
It's what?
That's my joy for the week. We had a big rainstorm the past 2 days and temps have dropped to the 60s. We went from 80 to 60. Very Chicago of us. That's my joy for the week, that it's finally like a really crisp fall. I was leaving a talk last night. And I was like, oh, this is October weather. It was like blustery, a little chilly. You could like, it was a little damp. I was like, yes, this is October.
Kind of jealous. So we have not gotten rain, although today it's overcast. So maybe we're about to get it, but it's been 90 or nearly 90 every day for the last, well, all summer.
Yeah.
But at least it drops down to like the 70s at night. So it gets a little cooler, which is nice. But today's high is only 80. So I'm kind of excited. We might be getting there.
Mm.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I actually really like the warm weather, but I would like a little cooler in the mornings and evenings, because I like, you know, being able to sit with a coffee on my porch, like, but slightly bundled.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now I can just sit with on my porch.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So I think my joy for the week was, actually on Sunday I went for like a long hike with two really good friends. And we just like talked and walked and walked and talked for, we did 8 miles. It was amazing. It was so good. The only downside was, my dog was really excited to hike. He loves hiking. He was really excited. But for the first mile, I had him like closely tethered to me on a leash because I just wasn't sure how many other people were going to be around. And sometimes there's horses on the trail. Anyway, we were going down a hill. My footing wasn't very secure. He got overly excited and I went down.
Oh, no.
So I have a nice bloodied up left knee right now.
Oh gosh, I'm so sorry.
I know. It was fine. It just like took me by surprise. And like, that was the start of the hike, of course. So I had this like bloody, dirty knee the whole hike. But anyway, it's not that big of a deal. Although it was funny was I went to the gym yesterday and worked with a trainer. And usually we do like the day in the training schedule, it would have had a lot of like lunges and things. And I was like, can we do an arms day instead? Because I'm not sure my knee's going to like hitting the ground multiple times with lunge, like weighted lunges,
yeah,
and stuff. And she's like, yeah, okay.
Did you show her? You were like, here's the
day. I was like, do you want to see my knee? And she's like, yeah. It's like, okay. Anyway, yeah.
Hilarious. So I feel like it's funny because if you're kind of a, I don't know, sporty at all, like I'm in a basketball league that's like fairly competitive. And so yeah. I walk away with a lot of bruises, particularly like on my arms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, I was dating this guy and he at one point was like, yeah, if we go to dinner, you need to wear long sleeves because I look bad, not you. This moment of like these bruises and people look at you like, are you okay? And you're like,
what?
I just fell down the side of a mountain hiking with my dog. And they're like, right. Like, you're like, no, I swear.
Really, I did.
I promise. I'm like, okay, but just like a little too intense maybe. Like, oh, it's okay. Yeah. Too funny.
My friends were like, that was the most graceful fall I think I've ever seen.
Oh.
And I was like, because I was like, I knew like if I fell certain ways, I knew it was going to be really bad. So it was almost like I genuflected down the side of the mountain. So that's the brunt of it. But I was like, I would have like, it would have been bad if I fell forward or like fell all the way back. Like, whoa, because it was just a totally rocky path. So
I mean, yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Okay. And then our takeaways or like our thought project was to kind of think about a little bit of maybe those interior dispositions that keep us attached to particular things in life. Like Katie is reflecting a lot on alcohol and giving that up. Just kind of like, not just because of an interior disposition, but you're on a very specific type of health journey that no alcohol will assist. So yeah, interesting. Do you have more thoughts on that?
Well, I was thinking one other area that like I've been really kind of delving into actually the last, we're recording this like 1 week before it comes out. So October 7th. So for the last week, I've been thinking a lot about this because at the end of September, I was like, okay, we're starting quarter four. I really want to try and save a lot of money because I want to like pay off things and I've got some big expenses coming up and that kind of a thing. And so I was like, I wonder, you know, like how I can really save and whatnot. And so at the end of September, I was like, I wonder if I could go the whole month of October and like not shop. And so I went to the grocery store and I bought like a bunch of stuff from the grocery store. And I was like, I wonder if this could hold me over for the whole month. Like I bought a bunch of like meat that could be frozen and stuff like that. And I think probably not. Like I'm probably still going to need to run and get like half and half, you know, by like the fourth week of October or whatever. But it's interesting because I find myself some days being like, this is totally doable. And other days being like, there's no way. Like there's no way, you know? And so like Saturday, for instance, sometimes I do these day trips to Kansas City to give kind of like a doctrine class and see some friends down there. And it's a really long day. Like I leave at 7:30 in the morning. I'm gone from 7:30 in the morning. I get back at like 8 o'clock at night. I'm in the car. Like this time I was in the car for 9.5 hours because of so much traffic. It was crazy. And usually when I do those, then I'll just like order DoorDash to the door and like have it there for when I get back at 8 o'clock at night. And I'll like run to Walmart and like buy a frozen pizza. And I was in the car, like, and I was at that moment where I could like turn to go to Walmart or turn to go to my house. And I was like, this is dumb. I'm not going to do this. And then I was like, no, like I had food at home. I had prepped food. Like, would it be the same as a delicious pizza? No, but it was there and it was ready. And so anyway, that's something that I've been like really thinking a lot about, like the amount of spending or just like the ease with which I'm like, meh, like, and it, like, whatever, I can go buy a pizza and like eat the ground beef tomorrow. But anyway, so that's one thing that I've been like thinking a lot more about and kind of like trying to call myself to task on.
Interesting. As I was kind of reflecting on like, is there anything in my life that I just kind of have a visceral reaction of like, no, I can't do that. It's like early morning wake ups for me. Because of the nature of my career, I don't really need to set an alarm. And sometimes I work really late. Like I didn't get home until super late last night because I was seeing clients very late into the evening and then I had to go give a talk. And so it's easy to like sleep in and not get up. Like, oh, I don't have anyone until 10 a.m. Like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. You know, and then yeah, I have a full work day, but I don't start till 10, right? Or something. And so the thought of like setting an alarm or going to like a morning workout class is like, I'd rather die. What do you mean? Like, you know, and just interesting that creature becoming a creature of comfort in kind of my like bedtime and like not waking up to an alarm, like all these things. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like kind of that idea of moving through that or what that would even like look like to kind of give up that morning comfortness and comfort in some way. But anyways, that's just something that came to mind as we were reflecting over the past week. But today we are talking about something actually like pretty different. Well, actually, yes and no. So the reason I thought of this topic is because you were talking about the alcohol and giving it up and that I actually have a lot of non-alcoholic options in my home for my friends who are sober or who are temporarily not drinking or so forth.
Yeah, pregnant, nursing.
Yeah, whatever. Or whatever. And because it was becoming such a thing, I was thought to myself, well, to be a good host and to be really supportive, I need to create an environment for everybody when they come to see me, right? And so I have non-alcoholic options. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about today is kind of like creating a beautiful home and one with like openness and warmth and hospitality, because there's something really unique about kind of our single years where we get to kind of, I don't know, encounter people or host or create in a particular way that we may not have the opportunity to do later in life or if certain things change. And so
yeah.
We wanted to talk about kind of creating a beautiful environment.
Yeah, because I think, you know, especially I think in our throwout culture today, it's really easy to be like, yeah, like we'll just have paper plates and we'll just have like plastic forks and like whatever, red Solo cups and like, BYOB, and like you just throw the bags on the chips on the table and whatever. And like, okay, there's a time and a place for that. You know, maybe the Super Bowl party is a little bit more like that, etc. But like we have, especially as women, but women and like being single, we have this unique opportunity to host and almost sort of to mother in the way that we host, the way that we create our space that invites people into it. It's funny, as we were prepping for this and talking about it, because we've been like tossing around this idea for a couple of weeks, a friend of mine who actually I would consider her one of the best party throwers that I know, but also like one of the best gatherers. And I really like gathering people, but she's very, very good at gathering people. So she recently gathered all of her friends who had done the Camino in the last like 3 or 4 years together. And we had dinner together to just discuss our individual Camino experiences. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew half the people at the table and I didn't know half the people at the table, but we went and we sat down and it was like, she had made food with a little bit of a Spanish flair because we were talking about the Camino, and it was, we ate on real plates and, you know, and she had off to the side, as people were mixing and mingling in the beginning, a little charcuterie board with like Spanish jamon and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, like it just changes the atmosphere of the event.
Mm.
When you have it set up a certain way, and mm-hmm. when you, you know, and it's like, yeah, it's way more work, but it also mm-hmm. changed, I don't know, the way we were interacting together, the way we were, the ease we felt, I think too, in the space, because of that. And she had a tiny apartment. It's not like she had like a huge space for hosting, but like, it was, I don't know, it was really nice.
I think that, I think you're kind of speaking to this idea of like paying attention to like the details, right? Mm. And creating an environment mm-hmm. that people feel like cared for, right? And paid attention to, and they, you know, look at things and they think, they see the thoughtfulness, right? And so part of cultivating a really hospitable environment is not necessarily the amount of things or the money spent, but the thoughtfulness, right? Creating mm-hmm. that it creates a particular vibe, to use mm-hmm. such a word, right? That people feel a particular way when they enter.
Yeah. I think it's interesting too. So I have a friend who just bought a house. And so, you know, when she was looking at different houses and things like that, she would like send me the listings, you know, and a lot of times they show you the listing as it like with it decorated and then with it like blank canvas. Right. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I found really interesting was a lot of homes today, like the family room, for instance, is completely centered around the TV.
Mm.
As opposed to centered around a space to create conversation.
Mm.
And I think like this is something that like I think our parents do really well in their house. There's a TV, but the TV is actually in the basement, which is like a walkout basement. So it's like a second family room. But the main family room where we all hang out, like it's created in such a way that kind of is around the fireplace, but allows for conversation and like community, right? And
yeah,
I think that also goes into it.
I think that part of it is just kind of exploring like what is your vibe. So I love kind of going over to my friends' places as they, you know, start to cultivate their own spaces, whether it's their apartments alone or their first family homes and so forth. And because you can see kind of what they care most about in some sense, right? Yep. And so I've got one friend who it's like there's so many chairs for conversation. There's not a TV or anything anywhere. And there's this like massive dining room table in a really small space where you're like, okay. But what she cares about is like dining and food and conversation. And then I have another friend who it is centered around the TV because she enjoys like fun girls' nights with like themes around movies and these different things.
Yep.
And so nothing is, you know, Katie and I aren't saying it's like good or bad, whatever you so choose in your environment, but to know yourself and to know how you cultivate your environment for kind of like what you're looking for. Right.
Right.
And
Well, and I think also too, like thinking, like even just that, like thinking specifically, how am I cultivating this environment, like for family and friends to come over and enjoy, yeah, and not just like for me to lounge at the end of a day, you know, which I think is two different, can often be two different setups, right? Like if you're just coming back to like couch rot at the end of the day, that's one setup. Whereas if you are like setting your place up to have friends over and you like doing it around a movie, great. Like that's a different setup than if you like to have friends over to have like deep conversations and like drink a bottle of wine together, right? Like that's also a very different setup. And so really thinking about that like intentionally of like, okay, when I host, like what kind of environment am I inviting my guests to come into that helps kind of further, not the agenda that I have, but to a certain extent, like the thing that I'm looking for with them or the thing that I'm trying to create for us.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the other thing I would say is that your home is it. The way you decorate it and set it up and these different things convey a particular message, even in like the color and the aesthetic and like kind of all this stuff. And, you know, Katie and I growing up, we were kind of raised to consider what, when we got dressed, like what our clothing said, right? Because how you show up and how you dress presents something particular to the world. You're saying something about yourself. And so... So too is the environment that you cultivate, right? It's saying something. And so I think that's something to kind of think about, like what message am I trying to send? What message do I want to send? Like, what does that look like? And then kind of going from there and being kind of intentional. We don't need necessarily to like always buy a million things to create our space, but we need to be maybe thoughtful and intentional with the particular items that we curate, maybe, and creating an environment that's conducive to what you're trying to do in life, right? Like if you want to be a host, what does that mean? And what does that look like? Right. And I think
it's interesting, like along those lines. So I was taking care of a large dining room table for a friend of mine, this friend that actually just bought a house. So now that she bought a house, she wants her large dining room table back, which is great because it was way too big for my space. But anyway, so now I have this much smaller table that was from our parents' basement, but it kind of forced me to have to rearrange my first floor, and it kind of like all flows into each other, but it's kind of small spaces, etc. Anyway, so last week I was rearranging everything, moving it all around because I like to do this multiple times. I think I've had like six different configurations, you know, since I've lived there. But I had it set up one way and I was like, I kind of like this. But then I stood at the doorway where people would enter and I looked in and I was like, no, I don't like this. It makes like the TV was kind of front and center to what people would see. And I don't have people over to watch TV. Like if I have people over, we're like hanging out talking or we're like, you know, out on the porch, like, or like I'm having people over for a pumpkin carving, you know, like night out type of deal, but like it's not around the TV. And I was like, I don't want that to be the first thing you see when you come in is like my TV. Like it's the most important thing. So then I rearranged again because I was like, no, I want them to walk into a space that they're like, oh, I could sit down here and have a really good conversation, you know? And so then I ended up switching things around and moving things in a way that like would give that aesthetic, kind of the same way that you were saying with like outfits or whatever, right? That like you're kind of giving this like that first look says a lot about who you are. That first look when someone comes into your place also kind of sets that tone.
Yeah, absolutely. So part of, I think, the thought project is just kind of looking around your space and asking yourself what does my space convey? Does it convey what I want it to convey? Like what type of host am I? What type of host do I want to be? Do you even want to be a host? You might not want to be, and that's okay. I think that part of how we carry ourselves in the world, like we kind of create and carry an environment with us wherever we go. And so there's a part of us that needs to kind of reflect on just kind of our internal environment and what we carry with us, and how that kind of flows from us into, you know, others in the space around us. And your home is an easy reflection of that, right? Because it has these little pieces of you that are you know, curated and cultivated and all these things. Yeah. So I am a big fan of art personally. I just, mm-hmm. I have always really enjoyed, I took a lot of art classes in college, which is like weird, but cause I'm a super sporty person, but I love art. I love the arts. I love music. I love Broadway and opera. I love, going to the Art Institute. I took these radical art classes. I even love modern art, which is like such a like, what is this? but I think that it's easy to create kind of a stale place, but I even religious art, like if it's ugly, it pisses me off. I get so irritated by ugly religious art. And I want artists meant to like evoke. Right. So even kind of choosing your artwork in your home in a way to kind of evoke. I have very subtle religious art. Like, I think if you didn't know, you wouldn't fully know. But if you knew, you kind of knew, or you'd be like, oh, that's such an interesting image. Like, what is that about? Or even if anyone can watch or see, like, the image behind me is of Mary, but she's very dark and moody and very, like, it's artistic. It's, you know, so it's not this kind of, like, stereotypical image we think of when we think of the Blessed Mother. And I think that art conveys a particular message, but it also carries conversation. And part of our home and the environment we create fosters environment, conversation, community. And these are all things we want to consider as we establish ourselves in a space.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think, yeah, I'm big into art too. And I think I too like the subtle religious art. I have one that I'm looking at, but I can't like turn and show you. But I like the subtle stuff. I also like the stuff that looks a little watercolored. So actually like the paintings I have, even of Mary and Doer of Knots, is like more of a watercolor styled version of it. And it's subtle and simple. But yeah, I think art makes a big difference. I think I'm really big personally into also like pictures, like actual like taking the iPhone photos you have and getting them printed. And so I do those like every 6 months where I'll take some of my favorite ones and get them printed and put them around the house of like people who mean a lot to me, family, friends, like that kind of a thing. I think that also makes a big difference. I'm curious, Monica, though, your thoughts on like, you know, millennials and Gen Zs are a little bit more what I would say minimalistic in their like design aesthetics often than our parents. Like our mom is very good at decorating the house, et cetera, but there's like a lot of kitschy shit all over our house, you know, like, and dad always jokes, like if she died before he did, he would just get rid of it all. And it would just be like empty cabinets, which is not the aesthetic either. But I'm curious your thoughts on, you know, the amount of things on counter spaces, on dressers, on, you know, spaces like that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I had the opportunity. I moved into my first solo place this year. And so I really had to establish my aesthetic. And what's interesting is I have no artwork on the wall, but what I chose to do. So I have opted for a very minimal. I do have a very minimal look. I'm very light. Lots of earth tones, tons of plants. So it gives us like, I have these massive windows too that just bring a lot of light into my space. But I found that stuff on the wall and then stuff on shelves and then all, it just felt so cluttered to me. And mentally, I wanted a really very clear space. So what's actually interesting is the only things I hung are shelves in really unique places with a bunch of plants on them to like elevate the eyes and kind of pull life into other areas of the apartment. But I think everything should kind of be curated and intentional. So part of it is just slowing yourself down and saying, well, how do I want to appear in this space, or what message do I want to send in this space? And, you know, Katie, I think it ties well into this idea of this project you're on for kind of the next year of not like rushing. Part of rushing is that we create such clutter in our lives, like mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, environmentally. Like there's just rush and clutter. And so your environment and how many things you have and how messy it is and what's on the walls all kind of create, they can create a particular aesthetic or a particular clutter. And so it's not, it's not one thing is right and one thing is wrong. It's just like, what does this space do to you internally? Like your home should also be a place of like rest. And if the environment or if the decor, if the whatever isn't restful to you or rejuvenating, that might be mm-hmm. something to consider.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, I think. Yeah, because sometimes we want a lot of things, or even like I think like holiday decorations and things like that. And we can find ourselves like buying a lot of stuff and then we're like sitting in the clutter of that. Mm-hmm. And so really kind of considering, or even like my plant collection has kind of grown out of proportion to, and it's not even, it's funny. I was like, have I bought? I'm like, am I buying so many plants? Like, how do I suddenly have so many plants?
You're propagating.
And I was like, no, I've been working on propagating plants. So I was thinking about it and I was like, I was gifted 2 tiny plants 3 years ago and they now fill 3 pots in my house.
Amazing.
Because they propagated so many times. And then I bought one of those like snake tongue or mother-in-law tongues or whatever they call those plants right when I first moved. And it's grown so much and propagated so much. It's now in 3 different containers. Anyway, but I think there's something to be said for plants. But even that, I was like, okay, maybe it's time to start getting rid of plants now, or like giving them to people because I've propagated so many, et cetera. Because like, do I need this many? Probably not. Like I'm actually, well, you can see one in the background, actually 2 in the background, but there are 5 plants in this tiny little office. So yeah, there's something to be said for that. But I was thinking too, like, okay, we have this aunt who is like minimalist, but like she hasn't bought into the minimalist lifestyle. She just doesn't want to have to clean a lot. So like every countertop has like 1 thing, because then you can lift the 1 item and dust everything really easily. Mm. But then also like she lives in a 3-bedroom house and the 2 other bedrooms besides hers are empty. And I was thinking like that, like even that is very interesting. Like she could have turned one into a guest room, but she doesn't want guests over. So she doesn't, right? And so like a lot of how we decorate, how we set up our spaces sends even unintentional messages of how welcome people are, of the things that we hold dear, of those kinds of things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting. I mean, more and more, it's just about, I feel like I've talked about this a lot with my clients this week, of just slowing down and reflecting on kind of that autopilot or these just typical patterns and things we get into, and just zooming out and the slowing down and the reflecting and the looking, the assessing. It's not judgment. It's not criticism. It doesn't mean something changes, but it's just like, well, what am I doing? And what am I saying? And how am I creating this environment? What message am I sending? And to be reflective, because sometimes we just do, like we just kind of create and we do. And then we look at it and we're like, oh, interesting. I didn't think about how that came across, or I didn't realize this pattern that I was in, or that a pattern I was perpetuating, right? Like there are certain things that probably you and I and our other sisters have pretty consistent about our design aesthetic because of our mom, right? And it's just something that we saw growing up. We took in without even thinking about it. We implement in our homes without even thinking about it. And so we want to be a little more intentional with, or just mindful about like, oh, what am I doing? And how am I creating the space? And what message does that send and receive? And what do people kind of think or feel when they come here?
Yeah. No, totally. You know, one of the things, like kind of related, but one of the things I've started doing, and I used to do this on Sundays, and now I've stopped doing it on Sundays, so that Sunday can really be like a Sabbath, like a day of rest. And now I do it actually Monday mornings, is what I call like a house reset. And so actually Monday mornings, I'll like wake up, whatever, I'll pray. And then what I do is like just run all over the house and like put everything back in order. Like fluff the pillows, do the dishes if I haven't done the dishes, like over the weekend, like if I was just collecting from a couple meals or whatever, like put everything away so that the whole house is set for the week, just like I am. I do it in my office as well. And I love it. The reset to me makes such a difference, because then starting from, you know, Monday morning when I do the reset, like the house looks good. And yes, as the week progresses, then probably more of my shoes get left by the door or those kinds of things. But like Monday, I get to start with a clean slate. I run around and I feel kind of accomplished the start of Monday, like having done all of that. So that too is like one thing that I do, like to just kind of create that space and create that ambiance for myself, even being home.
Yeah. There is this kind of this trend that I see a little bit going around, like our parents' generation would be like mortified by this, but this trend that's like kind of popping up on my social media and all this stuff are like DIY friendly, like renter things, like renter friendly wallpaper that you can like take off without ruining your place, or renter friendly, like fake backsplash and like all of these things, and people investing even in the spaces that they rent to like make it theirs, right? And make it their aesthetic. And yeah, the boomers would be like, why would you ever invest money into something you're not going to get money out of, and you're not selling it in return, blah, 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 all these things. But I do think that to some degree, whatever is actually like financially responsible, of course, really investing in your space. And whether you're like single in your own apartment or you're sharing an apartment with other people, you can still kind of create your own vibe or talk about that aesthetic. Or if you're in, if you're living in community because you have some particular like celibate or religious life, I think that that's going to take maybe a little bit more creativity than someone like me who just has her own place.
Sure.
But that it can still happen, right? You can still be really thoughtful about the type of vibe and aesthetic and an image you want to create in the space around you, and find ways to implement that.
Sure. Yeah. Or I think too, sometimes when you're, you know, if you're like living in community or you're living in like a family life of that nature, sometimes it's also a matter of being a little detached from it. Cause you're like, okay, like I'm not going to decorate this living room. I'm not going to decorate the family room. Like that's just not, you know, and like often if you like, for me, like if you move into a center, like you inherit the bedroom with everything, but it's also sometimes like good, like to speak up and be like, okay, like I, you know, I could really use a chair in here. So I could do like my, so yeah. I drink my morning coffee and like read or, you know, before bed and that kind of thing. I know somebody in the last center I lived in was like, I just need a chair with a small ottoman for like my reading at night. Cause she just really liked to read at night before bed. And like, it was great. Like she got one from IKEA. She loved it, you know, like that kind of a thing. And so sometimes it's even like one subtle small thing, right? Or getting the desk that's really going to work really well for who you are and what you do and that kind of a thing. Mm. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe kind of the takeaway this week would just be kind of thinking about what type of environment do you kind of curate? What are ways in which you can do a better job, or not even better, but just like different in curating a particular in that environment, right? Just kind of that, bring that mindful awareness into the space you create around you, because I think that we want people to feel like very loved and at home in our spaces. And you know, one of my friends calls it like a soft place to land, that she does a really good job of creating, and you're just like I can exhale here. And it's not that everyone is going to have that kind of charism or that desire or so forth, whatever, but that the challenge this week might be to think like, am I creating the space that I want to create? And what are ways in which I can really elevate the space around me?
Yeah. Well, and I think whether you want your place to be a soft place to land for you and your friends, or just for you, that's true, right? Like it at least has to be a soft place to land for you, that you feel very much at home and comfortable. Like when you step into your space, you can breathe that sigh of relief. And so, you know, I think really thinking that through, and for those who are, you know, not as mindful of these things or not as aware of these things, it could be really good too to ask a friend of yours who's like over frequently, be like, what do you feel when you come over? You know, like to get an idea from them of like, what are they experiencing? Because maybe you're not aware of it. Maybe you're like, I don't know, my house functions fine. Like it's fine, you know? But then it's not until someone else steps in that you're like, oh, okay. Like maybe this does come across as a little cold and I don't want it to, or maybe, you know, whatever it is. So
yeah, I love that.
I think, yeah, that could be great. So that's it this week on Single Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are in your journey, remember that God is with you, and this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving the podcast, take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women like you find this community. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can find us on social media at Single Not Stalled. Of course, we'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Until next time, keep living fully and